We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Patrick Sturm. Patrick is the founder and owner of Movement Threads, an athleisure apparel company. Roughly 2 years ago, Patrick had the opportunity to travel to Australia and live there for a short time with his cousin. While he was there, he spent the majority of his time learning about the benefits of a healthier lifestyle. While traveling, he was wearing synthetically made exercise clothing every single day, which led to itchy, irritated skin. It was at this time that he started learning about natural, sustainable materials as an alternative to synthetic clothing. At this point, Movement Threads was born. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to hear this, especially because your whole story started in Australia.
Yeah, that was the first time we talked. I was sitting on a friend's couch and trying to work out a Skype time because of the time difference. Yep. So it was an experience.
Good. So as an apparel company, this is the first I've heard of the word athleisure. So what exactly is that, and how are you differentiating yourself from other brands out there?
Yeah, so athleisure kind of is, you know, you want a piece of clothing that's going to perform in all environments. So you want a clean cut look that is going to be able to perform in the casual environment if you're just out with friends at a barbecue, while at the same time you could go to the gym and it's going to be a functionally performing piece of clothing in terms of sweat wicking and antimicrobial, anti-odor performance. Both places, it's going to have you looking, you know, a little more professional than maybe something that has a lot of branding all over it or huge prints on it.
Sure. Okay. And the sustainable materials?
Yeah. So I'll kind of elaborate a little bit on the Australia portion there. I was turned on to bamboo as a material and started wearing it a little bit in Australia. And I was just amazed at how lightweight and how breathable and how soft it was to the touch. And so that's kind of the idea that the company was founded on, was high quality, sustainable materials instead of, you know, the synthetics just dominate everything. And as a culture, we have been very much kind of like normalized to how synthetics perform and like what, you know, sweat wicking means and everything like that. When the fact is, a lot of these natural materials do it too, and they provide a lot nicer feel to the clothing. So, we're looking into a couple more. Right now, we're primarily working with bamboo. We're currently looking into a couple more sustainable materials as we move all of our manufacturing here to the U.S. Okay. And that is currently happening right now. But we're looking at rolling out some Tencel clothing too, which is made from eucalyptus trees.
Wow. Very nice and exciting too.
Yeah.
I think that's great actually. So I'm all for leveraging natural sustainable materials. Okay, so what have you learned about the clothing and apparel industry since you've started out? I know that your background isn't in this space at all, right?
This is quite a loaded question. so I basically, and actually the 6 degrees of separation question, we'll get into this a little more, but you know, I basically just kind of have been learning as I go. The biggest thing has just been getting in contact with as many people as possible, and not being afraid to ask questions. My biggest learning opportunity was this past October when I went out to the International Textile and Trade Show in Los Angeles.
Cool.
And I actually got to sit down and share my story with a lot of the companies that I'm working with now. And that was a really cool experience. You know, a lot of the people there just kind of told me, no, you're not doing this right. You should be doing it this way.
Oh, wow.
Just based on supply chain,
sure.
for the scalability, yep. stuff like that. Okay. Those were all issues I ran into in the clothing world.
Yep.
Some aspects of the clothing world aren't so nice, as I've learned, mm-hmm. But that's business, right? You gotta learn and adapt to the obstacles that are thrown at you. But I can officially break down a piece of clothing now to the fiber that's used and the number associated it, whether it's a 24 single or a 30 single, and kind of elaborate on what that means to a customer. So,
okay.
It's been quite a journey these past 2 years,
sure.
but it's been super fun. I'm loving learning it. And, you know, these bits of knowledge that I'm taking away are going to be applicable for the rest of my life, essentially. So
absolutely.
It's all good stuff.
I believe it. And I love how you said you just connecting with as many people as possible and learning yeah. as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So what opportunities has that fitness lifestyle allowed you to experience?
So if we're going to go back even further than Australia, coming out of school, I was pretty overweight, I was not living a healthy lifestyle. We'll say that,
okay.
Working basically for the weekends and then living it up on the weekends and then, press repeat. My cousin who I was living with in Australia is now actually my coach and programmer, and he's been a big mentor for me in the fitness world. He has dedicated his whole life to, this is his passion. It's what he does.
Sure.
And he recently opened up his own studio in Perth. So it was through him that I kind of started on this movement journey. And okay. that's how I like to describe the type of exercise that I do. It's movement training, meaning that I might be practicing gymnastics one day. I might be practicing yoga one day. I might be crawling on the ground the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But the ultimate goal isn't to be the strongest or the fastest. It's how are you prepping your body so that it moves as well as possible, for as long as possible, essentially.
Okay. Interesting.
A term that's thrown out there is every day is spine day. A very typical stereotype in gyms, I think, is, you want to hit your legs, your yeah. biceps, tries, back. We put a lot of emphasis on the spine because it doesn't matter how strong your biceps are if you can't stand up straight. So it's a very cool approach to training. It's an interesting one, and it's not one that can be mastered is a good way to say in a short amount of time. It's a lifelong journey. But so you take that interest, and then that's kind of where I was wearing exercise clothing constantly, especially when I went out to Australia to spend the majority of my time learning and training there. And it wasn't just me. Everyone I asked, they said, yeah, if there was a alternative to the polys that are out there, some people, they would get irritated. Some people would like break out from it. It was just a lot of oil built up in that plastic and a lot of bacteria. And that's where it all started.
Yeah.
Kind of learning about, yeah, just when one thing I learned in LA when I went to the trade show was a way to think of your clothing is the first contact to a million little pores or a million little mouths on
wow.
your skin.
Okay.
And so some people might think that's a little hardcore, but it's something that resonated with me as I learn more about what actually goes into making the synthetics.
Sure. Which makes sense actually, as far as the athletic organic mm-hmm. approaches, and it's all about what is going into your mm-hmm. body. Right. So that's really an interesting perspective. Well, Patrick, I know on your journeys and travels all over the world, you've come across and met a number of really interesting individuals. Can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
Yeah, so this is a favorite story of mine. Back in early 2015, I want to say mid 2015, a bunch of friends and I rented an Airbnb in northern Wisconsin, and we loved it. It was a fantastic house to stay at. It was on a lake, so we were able to do all the outdoor things we like to do. So we ended up going back the following year. And so I had a little bit of a relationship with the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And we texted a little bit to learn more about each other. He was asking me a couple questions about movement threads and what I did exactly. And we went back the following year. And then I actually didn't talk to him for a year. And out of the blue, he gave me a call one day and he's like, hey, I need to get this clothing printed. Do you have any, you know, expertise or advice that you'd give me, or do you know someone that I could use? So I kind of, you know, answered that question first, but then he asked, you know, how's Movement Threads coming along? And I gave him the update and he was like, wow, that's awesome. He was, I'm actually starting my own company right now. That is very heavily involved in the endurance race industry.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, fast forward to today, we are now developing lines of clothing for his company and for Movement Threads. And it was through, you know, it was through all of this that, you know, the goal to move apparel to American made manufacturing, that was, you know, that came of this, feedback on different cuts of clothing, stuff like that. You know, the endurance industry is such a large industry. It's always good to have feedback from someone who is very involved in that.
Absolutely.
And then on top of it, you know, it was just another person to know and another person that I can learn from, because this person has a lot more experience in the business world than I do. And so where I'm a little green on things and maybe a little hesitant, he, you know, was able to tell me, no, you know, either stick to your guns or keep being persistent, stuff that would maybe make me a little uncomfortable at first. So it's been a good learning experience as well as making a great contact.
Yeah. Well, I have two comments on that. The first one is that it's an amazing story to share. So thank you for that, that you've, you know, just a vacation in the northern parts of Wisconsin turned into, sounds like a fantastic business relationship, which is awesome. And I think what's important there is that you never know, right? So be good to others for sure. And the second one is that how much of a mentorship that you've kind of identified within your network, that you have a number of people, your trusted sources and advisors, and I think you've done a really good job building that.
And that's one thing, you know, man, is it tough to do if you don't have a good support team behind you? It's what I signed up for by choosing to do this on my own and you know, choosing this as kind of a career path. But it's always nice to be able to go and talk through something or bounce ideas off of someone that you know and trust, and that you trust them to give you their honest opinion or the honest advice back. And I have a great support team behind me, which is awesome.
Nice. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to stay in front of this fairly large network that you've developed for yourself?
So the biggest thing for me is it all goes back to the keep on connecting with people. You know, where I think that I've developed a cool network since the inception of the company, the network needs to keep getting bigger, and you need to keep on talking to people that are in, you know, maybe on the forefront of their networks.
Sure.
And so, just always trying to learn more, always trying to, listen to what other people have to say. And then on top of that, you know, you never know when connecting to people in your network will be reciprocated. And that's one thing. I was listening to a podcast, and that was one thing that the person being interviewed was very big on, is you never know when it's going to benefit you to put two people together. Uh-huh. And maybe it doesn't happen immediately. You know, maybe you put two people together and then maybe you put another two people together, but you never know when those two people might come back and say, hey, you need to meet so-and-so, because I think that it would be a great person for you to talk to. So, it just always helps, you know, to always keep an open stream of communication with everybody.
Yeah. So how do you go about expanding your network then? What are some activities that you do to, because you're really pushing and advocating, connecting with as many people as possible. What are you doing to get to that next person?
So I think actually one of the questions touches on this a little bit.
Okay.
Traditional networking versus
digital
networking. Yep. A lot of the gyms that I do like branding for or business with, I have met in person. I am a big, big fan of meeting someone in person, partly because, you know, I deal with people that normally in some capacity are in the athletic world. And so my goal is, the first thing I want to do is I want to walk in and I want to not talk about a sale or not talk about the product I offer, but I want to establish a relationship that they can relate to. And so I try to tie my physical practice into, whatever focus they have at the facility that I'm at.
Sure.
And then once that kind of connection is established, the talk about business and whatnot kind of happens organically, I think, because you just strike up conversations because there is that mutual respect or interest.
Sure.
So a lot of it has been just right now, if I think that there's a gym that is maybe a good fit for something that I offer, I'll just contact them and say, hey, first off, I would like to come in and meet you mm-hmm. in person if possible. Because of the circles that I run in a little bit on the fitness side of my life, I have access to a lot of people nice. in the industry.
Uh-huh.
The cool thing now is a little bit as I've really began to grow, as the growth has started, especially since this year, word of mouth has been a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Gym owners are going to be friends with other gym owners a lot of time. And so if they're happy with the product, they'll start recommending
sure.
me and stuff. And
yep.
that's been I've met some great people, across the US just through word of mouth and through doing business with them.
Nice. Okay. Patrick, what advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Don't be afraid to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation. This was a big thing for me getting started. I'm, as a person, I'm much more in an uncomfortable situation. I'm much more of the person that's just going to sit back and listen. I'm not going to be the one that jumps up right away and asks 100 questions. I want to sit and observe a little bit until I become more comfortable in the scenario.
Sure.
But, I'll reference this LA trip quite a bit at the textile show, but that was a great learning experience for me because I was just thrown into, I didn't have a chance to like acclimate myself. I was just thrown into rooms with, presidents of sales, vice uh-huh. presidents of the company. And it was, all right, tell us your story. And
yeah.
that was a great experience because
sure.
I got, what I've learned is that people like to hear the stories.
Yep.
They're not opposed to the story, especially if you have an interesting one. And I would like to think that my story's an interesting one. And so, just don't be afraid to put yourself in those situations. If it means, getting out of your comfort zone is a good thing.
I think
it's what I've learned.
I think those are both really, you had two really valid points there. Definitely stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you've proven just now that, doing, you usually like to kind of audit the space and see,
yes.
Okay, how can I weasel my way in here comfortably? But then you were just kind of, tossed to the lions. And,
yep.
and at the end of the day, it was a really positive experience, right?
Yep. And I couldn't believe how easy it was once the experience was done.
Sure.
So that was another big takeaway for me. It's like, okay, this isn't so bad. Like,
yep.
I can talk to, these are normal people, I guess
yep.
is what I'm trying to
yep.
say. So like, it's not like they're monsters or something. They're just regular people. And I remember being very excited that I followed through with this opportunity to go to the textile show because it was just a great experience
Good.
All around.
That's yep. awesome. Congratulations for stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Thank you.
The other thing that I wanted to point out that I very much believe in is that people like to hear the story. I think telling the story is what connects with individuals on an emotional level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people want to connect with you
mm-hmm.
or find some common ground. So I that's the best path to take. And I'm glad that you mm-hmm. shared that with our listeners.
And that answers the networking question again,
mm-hmm.
the in-person one is you can share a story on, via email or something. Or, phone call or something like that. But there's always something to be said for that in-person interaction, that like emotional connection,
yeah.
right? So that's, yeah, that's, that's more my wheelhouse
than the digital. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, my next question here is that digital networking versus traditional networking, which one do you find more value in? And obviously you're saying that face-to-face, but let's expand on that.
The one thing I will say about digital, it sure makes it easy to connect with more people. Yep. That's 100% true. I think that as a, you know, especially someone with my story, I think I come off better in person. Mm-hmm. When they can see that I'm not someone simply peddling a product. It's, you know, the shirt that I may be, you know, the shirt that I'm currently wearing, it's something that holds very near to my health journey, my fitness practice, and my company.
Yep.
And it's something that I've poured quite a lot of research and development time into to make it as you know, as awesome as I possibly could. Uh-huh. And a lot of learning went into the development process as well on my part. And so I think that all comes across a little better when you have an in-person interaction. Once again, not saying that you can't do it digitally. It's just I'm working on my digital networking skills.
Sure.
Where the conversational, the more I'm learning and the more I get comfortable in these situations, it just comes more naturally to me.
Well, and you're selling a tangible product in one that is very much a touchy feely, you know, what is this material like? So that's something you cannot replicate in the digital space,
right?
Obviously, you can probably have people's reactions, mm-hmm, to touching it and their testimonials. But I agree. I mean, the product, people need to touch it and feel it, and that's an in-person activity.
Yep. We actually just launched our first affiliate program.
Okay, cool.
Here at a gym just south of here in Walker's Point called Commotion Fitness. And it's, you know, it's the gym that I have found myself the happiest at here in Milwaukee. But in working with the gym owner about the details of the affiliate program,
sure,
I opted for an in-person display much more than, you know, if you go to Nike or Under Armour, they're going to pixel something into your website,
sure,
with a web banner, and it's a pretty straightforward commission against sales,
yep,
type deal,
yep,
where the more people that can get in and feel this fabric, because a lot of people look at the tag and they see bamboo and they're just like, they kind of give me this puzzled look like, what do you mean bamboo? Like,
how do you make clothes out of bamboo?
Yeah, exactly. And so for them to get their hands on it, mm-hmm, and physically feel it and, you know, see how it fits on someone, that it fits, it drapes nicely. You know, the knit is a good quality knit. It stretches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's all stuff that can be done in person. And so, you're right. The fact that it's a tangible product too, that just makes it, you know, kind of suited for that, I think.
Sure. Thank you for sharing that. And I can definitely understand the significance of the in-person conversation in your line of business. That definitely makes sense. Now, I know you're not far off from your 20-year-old self, but if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Yeah, so quite a few things. The biggest one, you know, as we're talking about networking in this podcast, you know, in business school, you have so many opportunities to network, mm-hmm, to meet people. You know, talk to your professors. They will put you in contact with people. Go to the networking events. Go to the job fairs. I did not do nearly enough of that as a student. Once again, it was something that I didn't realize, you know, I didn't realize the importance of it back then,
mm-hmm,
as much as I'm realizing it now that I'm actually living it.
Yep.
And like, you know, essentially the business depends on how strong your network is, because if you don't have a network, you're not going to have necessarily all the customers you have. So many of my customers have come from the network that I've developed. And so, yeah, if I could go back, you have to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. Don't be afraid to meet people. And, you know, another thing, I think I fought my parents on this a good amount, was the whole internship thing.
Uh-huh.
Right? Looking back at it, is it really ever too early for an internship, or at least try for an internship?
Yep.
I mean, you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what outcome might, you know, might come as a result of you just reaching out to someone. And so, yeah, just taking advantages of the services offered at that time, and not maybe undervaluing them as much as I did.
Really good pieces of information. And I wish you would come to my class that I teach at UWM and tell the students this, because I try to tell them, but they don't listen because I'm the teacher. It's good for someone else. That's really good advice. Definitely building your network and get involved in those internships. I advocate that as much as I can. Because it's, you know, the more experience, the stronger you're positioning yourself, mm-hmm. and the more exposure you have to different, you know, ways that businesses run and mm-hmm. and how they the services are delivered and you know, just the people.
Yep.
It's, you're touching more people, you're building your network, and you're in front of, you know, more opportunities that who knows where they're going to be 10, 15 years down the road mm-hmm. in alignment with what you're trying to do.
Yep. And I currently right now I'm actually I have an intern right now.
Cool.
That's he helps me out with a lot of stuff.
Sure.
But I mean, not only does he get a unique look into how a kind of like the day-to-day things that I deal with on the business side,
uh-huh.
He has now looked into the fashion world, and he can't believe it as much as I couldn't believe it a year ago when I was dealing with a lot of this stuff. But then he has also got to meet some cool people. He's on phone calls with me to help me take notes and stuff like that.
Yes.
And, you know, those are the connections that you never know where they could lead. You know,
mm-hmm.
hey, so-and-so, I'm, you know, my name's Pat. I was on a phone call with you with Movement Threads a couple of years back. I just wanted to reach out and connect with you again and see how things are going. And that, I mean, you know, it's those type of things that are the result of going to the networking events and going to the job fairs. And it's great experience at an early age.
Awesome. I agree 100% with that. So you referenced this question earlier, and it's one of my favorite questions to ask. We've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Yes. So this was a funny question because it kind of made me think to myself, well, why don't I try to connect with this person?
Exactly. That's why I asked it.
Yeah. So there's actually, in trying to keep it, you know, as relatable to there are tons of people, first off, I wish I could connect with. But in keeping it related to Movement Threads and maybe in the clothing industry, Nate Checkitz is the CEO and co-founder of Roan Apparel. And they have been killing it over the past 3 to 4 years. I think they were established in 2012. But just to be able to connect with him, pick his brain, you know, what has worked, what hasn't worked. Would you like to hear the steps?
Sure.
I kind of like outlined.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. So through a friend while traveling in Australia, I was turned on to the silver thread that is now currently in my bamboo silver line of clothing.
Okay.
Through the silver thread company, I was connected with their thread developer, or you know, the person that looks for new materials and develops new thread. That person also does work with Roan on thread materials.
Sure.
And this same path could be taken for probably my favorite casual wear that I really believe in is Mizzen and Main.
Okay.
And they're an American made company, and it's the same thing. I, you know, went to LA, got connected with my fabric company, got to know the people in my fabric company, and I happened to be wearing a Mizzen and Main shirt in my first meeting with them. And next thing I know, they do all the fabric for Mizzen and Main. So it's weird how small the world is.
Cause yes.
I see these guys as, you know, like the geniuses of the industry. They've taken a company from nothing, and they're both now huge due to excellent product quality and marketing in their respective like kind of niches that they honestly kind of created themselves.
Yep.
And it would be awesome just to chat with them, even if it's just, you know, what is one habit that you have that you like work on every day or something, or, you know, something, a simple question like that, it would be cool to get their answer. And as I was going through this, as you mentioned, I was like, man, this really might be easier than I think it is to like connect with these type of people. So, yeah.
Well, I look forward to reporting back and sharing that you've connected and how amazing the experience was.
Yeah. I enjoyed that question because that was one that really made me realize a couple, you know, it goes back to the networking thing.
Absolutely.
Take advantage of
That's
it.
All,
right?
It's what it is. That's exactly what, you know, the purpose of the podcast is too, right? So I imagine on your travels and your long plane rides, you're doing some reading. So I'm always interested in what book my guests are reading right now.
So, excuse me. I am a two types of reading. I really enjoy learning about the human body and kind of the fitness side of things. But if I'm reading, that's not necessarily reading to relax. That's more reading to you know, learn. If I'm simply reading to relax, currently I'm reading the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson.
Okay.
And it's science fiction. I'm a big fan of that genre. I like to nerd out over that.
Wrong with
yeah,
that.
Over that type of stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, it's a 3-book series. I'm on book 2. Book 1 was phenomenal. I'm loving book 2, and it's a great way to kind of take me out of the movement threads world for a little bit and just put me into a relaxed world and just, you know, help me go to sleep every night.
I'll have to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have many books that I read for pure enjoyment, but if sci-fi is definitely a space I like to dive into. So,
and the one thing I'll add about this specific series is it's a good entry into, it's not like overbearing.
Sure.
There are a couple of his books, you know, looks like a Bible. It's so big, and you know, it's just 47 different characters introduced right away. This is a good
very Game of Thrones-esque.
Exactly. Yes.
I can't read those.
Yes.
Okay. Nice. So Patrick, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
The world's a small place. You never know who you're going to be connected with. You know, that you, once again, it kind of goes back to that 6 degree of separation. I didn't realize how close I was to these people until I actually sat down and looked at how close I was. And then don't burn bridges. Keep an open stream of communication, and always be willing to listen and learn. You know, someone, I recently kind of redid my website and someone was giving me feedback, and they mid feedback, they apologized. And I said, don't apologize. You know, I own something and I'm trying to make it as good as possible. If I wasn't able to take criticism, that would be terrible for both me and the company. So don't burn bridges. Keep an open stream of communication, just because you never know who you're going to meet in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then always be willing to listen and take the criticism. And, you know, maybe you go with your gut and you don't change or, you know, listen to the criticism, but it's always there and it can be a reference and it can be a learning point.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Really sound pieces of advice here. The world is a small place. There's a lot of truth to that. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of verified that with your 6 degrees of separation story. You never know who you're going to connect with. I'm definitely an advocate of don't burn bridges. I mean, mm-hmm. You don't know where someone's going to resurface in your life. So mm-hmm. you don't want to have to crawl over a burnt down bridge in order to accomplish a goal that you have. Mm-hmm. And always be listening. There's so much truth because, like you spoke to earlier, you can easily help someone else if you're listening to what their needs are and you know that someone is able to fill those needs.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. So, Patrick, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way they can reach you?
Best way would be through my website. My phone contact is there and my email, which is patrick@movementthreads.com. Or Facebook and Instagram are the two social medias that I am most active on. And quite a few customers have reached me over those platforms. So just, you know, if you have a question or are curious about something, send a message and I'll respond quickly as I can.
Cool. We will include all of those links in our show notes. Patrick, thank you so much for being on the show today.
This was awesome. Thank you very much.
It was very awesome. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Patrick Sturm for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.